Matt, Peyton, Peyton, Matt.
Hello, Matt.
Hey there.
How's it going?
It's going.
What were you doing, Peyton? If that sounds like paper or something?
I was just getting some peanuts out.
Oh, because right. That's exactly what you want to eat on a podcast.
I have water.
Yeah, okay.
Sure, you don't want to have some Doritos or something?
Yeah, like is there anything crunchier you could eat?
No, the chocolate covered.
Oh, okay.
No.
Because that's going to help.
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 22, recorded live Wednesday, May 23rd, 2012. I am Joel Duggan of StarCrossedOnline.com. To my right is Mr. Peyton Francis of CardboardTreehouse.com. What's going on, man?
Not a whole lot, my friend. It's all good around these parts. I'm getting my legs back under me, you know, with regards to work and stuff, and had a big weekend here of finishing up the boys' play structure. I got all the cedar shingles and everything up on it, and it's finally got like two coats of paint on it, so he's all good to go and play. So
good,
yeah,
stuff. Just in time for the summer weather here in Halifax.
Yeah, he seems to be enjoying that, you know, with the running around in the sunshine and the tripping and banging his face off the ground several times a day.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's all good.
Oh,
toughen him up a little bit, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. The chuckle that you might hear in the background is not Chad. As we mentioned, Chad is going to be away for a few weeks due to some work responsibilities. Filling in this week, keeping his chair warm and toasty, is Mr. Matthew Ducharme of MattTheWad.com. How are you doing this evening, Matt?
I'm doing okay, and I hope to be a decent spare Chad.
spare Chad. You know, nice. I wonder what kind of tire iron you need to apply one of those to the podcast.
Please, none.
Yeah, scratch that. I don't want to know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. If you happen to be new to the show, the Citadel Cafe is where we three come to hang out, talk about the geeky things that we've been into lately. We gravitate towards sci-fi, fantasy, that kind of thing, but we're not myopic. We cover anything from movies to television, books, apps, websites. If we think it's cool, we will let you know. If we think it's crap, we will also let you know. So, Peyton, you mentioned that you got the play structure up. What is there anything else going on, or that was basically just your whole week?
That was pretty much the weekend, getting that painted. And the neighbor, we have a retaining wall between our properties, and the concrete wall, there was no footing put underneath it when it was built, I guess. So it's been sagging pretty bad over the past couple of years. So he had to do a bunch of excavating around his property to put in new weeping tile because his basement has been flooding a lot lately.
Oh, no.
So, it's just, I guess when our house we were built 20 years ago, the guy who did it just went ahead and did it and didn't really assault the neighbors.
Jeez.
And as a result, we're up on a watershed here on top of this hill. So whenever you get a whole lot of rain, what will once drain off into a little marsh area now backs up behind our house and pushes on their property. So his basement floods all the time. And so now he's dug down and put a whole bunch more weeping tile in. But he had an excavator there to do it. So he came over and started tearing around between our properties because he's going to put a little hobbit wall sort of thing so that our son can run between our properties. And the boy really, really enjoyed riding around in the excavator. He calls it a shovel. So with a B. Anyway, Matt, my son is two, so anyway, he really got a kick out of that. So we did that on Saturday, and we also picked him up a firefighter helmet set thing, which is kind of fun. So
oh, nice.
Anyway, yeah, from where we are, there's a fire station down the road, and the fire department wakes him up occasionally, and the sirens used to scare him, but we've convinced him that the sirens are going to help someone. So whenever he hears sirens, now he says, helping, helping. So he likes fires. He wears his hat backwards and stuff. He calls it a fire helmet. So I found this entire kit, like jacket, fire extinguisher, bullhorn, everything. It's pretty funny. So anyway, I'll send you a picture of it later.
Yeah, no, that sounds cool. So Matt, this is your first time on the Citadel Cafe. So why don't you fill in our lovely listeners about what it is that you do and where they can find your stuff.
I am an animator. Been an animator for some time, and I make a little, well, it used to be monthly cartoon, but since I've gotten busy, it's a lot less frequent. But I make a monthly cartoon called Matt the Wad, Matt with one T, by the way. And you can find that at MattTheWad.com.
Nice. I've been a fan of your animation and silliness for quite some time. I still think my favorite is the coffee cartoon. I think that, well, that makes me giggle every time.
I love that everyone yeah. seems to have their own favorites, although the coffee one comes up frequently and the robot one comes up frequently.
Yeah. Have you thought about putting them together in any kind of like set that people could have, or
like a DVD download? Or
what's interesting is that there are a season one and a season two DVD that are all authored and everything, but I just haven't pulled the trigger in terms of like putting them up on the site for sale. I have to be better about that.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of wondering if there might be, because I mean, people could watch them all on your site, which is not as convenient as throwing them into your DVD player or your Blu-ray player and getting like a really high def version. Mm. But what, like, is there a way that you might be able to put that into like an app or an iBook or something? Because that would be very cool.
Yeah.
I'd have to research that. I'm not always fully up to date on like all the latest technical stuff, but I'm sure there's probably a way to figure that out.
Are you a Mac or a PC guy?
I am a PC.
Oh, okay. You're a PC.
Oh, I hear a little bit of that disappointment in your
voice. No, it's not so much disappointment, because I've got lots of friends that are PC people, and a lot of times, look, there's a lot of crap that doesn't work on Macs, believe me. My problem is that whenever I go to help somebody and they say that they're a PC person, I switched 3 years ago to Mac. And I am so out of the loop when it comes to Windows that I can't help anybody anymore. Like, I go to my mom's place and I try to, you know, mom's like, well, how do I check my Gmail or how do I do this? And I can't even open the bloody browser. I'm just like, what? Where? How does this work? Like, I'm so lost on Windows now. It's so bad. So bad. I'm curious to see where Windows 8 is going to take people. I hope it's good.
I've heard not good things.
Yeah.
I know some of the screenshots I've seen, it looks not exactly great.
Yeah.
We might be looking in on another Vista here.
Yeah. I don't know. I know people like 7. People that have 7 that I know, they like it.
I enjoy 7.
Yeah.
Well, I like it.
Yeah. I mean, Vista was such a flaming turd that I don't know. I skipped it. Like, around the time that it was time for me to change to Vista, you know, is when I dumped XP and I moved to OS, OS X. So I'm quite happily.
Yeah, I guess Windows are doing all right now, though, especially considering they've killed off XP this year. No more support for it. So
yeah,
you got a lot of municipalities and people who are having to switch over to the new operating system. So
yeah.
I guess their revenue streams be reflective of that. So
I would imagine some headaches for all the IT people that work at those government offices and stuff that are still using like IE7 or something from 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing about backwards. Us PC users. We tend to be notoriously late for shifting to new OSs. So there's probably huge amounts of office workers who are grinding their teeth saying, oh man, now we got to bite the bullet and upgrade.
Yeah. Well, I mean, OS makes it kind of, I want to say easy, but they kind of bully you into it. You know, it pops up on your screen every other month, like, you have to upgrade to the new 0.7 or the 0.8 or whatever the new one is. And if you don't, we're just going to poke you again until you do, because it's free. And I mean, they put it under the guise of like security updates and stuff like that. But a lot of times they'll change like Safari or iTunes or other parts of the operating system. I'm actually looking forward to an update, probably not from Apple, but from Blizzard. I've been spending a lot of time playing Diablo 3 and pulling my hair out while I'm doing it.
I have to ask real quick, because you're the first person I've spoken to who's played it. What was it worth the wait?
I am coming to it fresh. I didn't play Diablo 2 or even 1. So I'm not a fanboy. I enjoy Warcraft and I like Starcraft, and I got Diablo 3 for free with the season pass for World of Warcraft. So both my girlfriend Jocelyn and I have been just enjoying these games together. And unfortunately, there was a lot of kind of missed opportunities that Blizzard had on the launch. There was some kerfuffle happening with the servers. They didn't anticipate how many people were going to be trying to play at the same time. Some sort of hardware thing on their end or management was lax in terms of the digital management of the servers. And there's a lot of downtime. A lot of people couldn't get in. I was lucky enough to not be one of those people. However, Blizzard has this issue with some of the older video cards on Mac computers. and they're not supported by the game. So despite the fact that my computer meets and beats all of the recommended, not the minimum, but the recommended specs to play Diablo 3, it just doesn't, it doesn't work right. Like, I'll go from 30 frames a second to 5. And wow, it makes it impossible to enjoy, because it's very frustrating to play. Especially when Jocelyn is on a PC and she's running at 50 or 60 frames a second and everything's just smooth as glass for her. And we've narrowed it down to particle effects and environmental effects like smoke, fog, mist, any kind of like spiritual kind of thing that happens. And, well, there's a lot of that in Diablo 3. So unless I'm kind of in the clear, quote-unquote, sunshine, which doesn't really happen much in the game either, I really don't get much of a smooth playing experience. And I've noticed on the threads that they're aware of it. Blizzard is aware of it in the forums, and they're working on it. And they've sold 6 million plus copies of this game.
Yeah.
Nice.
In a week, you know?
Okay, I got to ask... Patton, have you played the older games before?
I'm probably the world's worst gamer.
I'm actually one of the few who has. See, the thing is, I'm looking at it, and I've played like the first two, and the third one doesn't look like that much of a departure. And I'm, you know, the first two were good and all that, but essentially it's just a rather repetitive thing. You go down to the dungeon, kill stuff, you know, to rack up loot so you can buy, you know, equipment to kill stuff quicker, to, you know, it's like that kind of thing.
Yeah, it is.
Most of the reviews I've seen online about it have been sort of like, it's, you know, about the same or maybe a little better than the last one, but it's just sort of like, you know, it's fun, but it's not like a huge leap forward or anything. So
it's not a groundbreaking game, and it was never meant to be. I really enjoy it, but I think what I enjoy about it is the simplicity. Like, I'm coming to it from World of Warcraft, which is wide open. You know, you can do anything you want. You have quests that you can follow if you choose, but like, you can kind of walk around and do anything. Diablo is very linear. It's very, go here, do this, listen to this guy tell you the bit of the story, and then follow what he does. And you really only have one quest option. You know, maybe a sub quest, but most of it's just go here, find this guy, go here, do this, find this area. And the reward and the addictive part of the game is, like you said, Matt, the loot that you get. And it's not just the loot, it's the abilities that you unlock as you level up. So getting loot allows you to level up faster. Leveling up faster unlocks different abilities, which allows you to kill stuff faster, but not just faster, cooler. That's the thing. It's not just that you're beating the stuff to death cooler. Like, I've got this monk, and it's a hand-to-hand combat character, so I'm not ranged. I'm up in people's faces, punching them and kicking them and stuff like that. And every time he gets a new ability, there's some sort of crazy vapor effect or like swirling whoosh or floating runes. Like, I've got this one attack where a giant magic bell falls from the sky and lands in front of me. It's the size of a bus. And then I punch the bell, and the shockwave from the bell goes into my enemies and sends them flying. And of course, there's a giant sound effect, and it's like this incredible grandiose thing. And I can't see it with my low graphic settings, but apparently I did it in a room one time, and Jocelyn said that the bell cracked the floor.
Nice.
And the crack stayed. Like, the environment is really cool. Like, they've taken kind of the old Diablo gameplay that was very successful and basically really modernized it with making it look beautiful. The whole thing looks like a painting. It's very, very pretty. Peyton, remind me, and I'll send you some screenshots the next time I'm in game.
Okay.
Or I'll get Jocelyn to send them, because she's got better graphics than I do.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very neat to see. So I don't know, Matt, if it's worth the wait. I've heard lots of other Diablo fans that are really enjoying it. And the thing that they're always saying to the people that are new to it is like, no, it really isn't that complicated. It's not supposed to be. You know, like, people are coming to it from like Mass Effect 3 and Call of Duty and all these games that have so many facets to them. And it's, nope, Diablo is kind of put your horns down and go straight, you know, hard, fast, make the bodies fly. And last night, Jocelyn and I took some time to blow off some steam and play, because we both had kind of rough work days. I mean, we went into a dungeon that had torture chambers, and there was a couple of dead bodies still on the torture devices. And as you walk by, you accidentally nudge these torture devices, and it, this body just kind of goes through what is essentially a cheese grater and comes out the other side. And it is gross. And like everything from the sound effects to the visuals, I mean, for me, again, the graphics are not so great because I have to play it on such a low setting, but the sound, like when you are doing area of effect attacks, you'll affect things like the wall or shelves or bookcases or loose stone that's around. So everything goes flying, which makes you feel really, really powerful. But when you're in this dungeon, there's like baskets of heads from people being decapitated. So this basket of heads goes flying. Guys, the sound that the heads make when they land, it has this hollow bone sound to it, and it's enough to make your skin crawl. And nice. It really kind of sucks you in. So, I mean, I'm enjoying it. I really wish that Blizzard had, well, one, let us know that the video card wasn't going to be supported, or they probably did, but it was probably fine print somewhere. And I hope that they fix it soon. So that's how my week has been going. I've been kind of toiling over that. Matt, what's new with you? I haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks, I don't think.
I am just a workhorse currently. I've been still working on that same client project, video game for a science museum out in California.
Nice.
It's going to be like multi-platform for phones and PC, Mac, that sort of thing.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's the first time, well, that's a lie. It's the second time I've worked on a game, but this is like the first time it's been like for a real thing. The previous time it was like for a little promotional thing at the company I used to work for.
Okay.
So it's pretty cool to see the process coming together and some of the coding the guys are doing. Like, I'm so glad I don't have that job.
Yeah, problem solving source code stuff has always been a bitch for me. I even don't like it on websites. I can't imagine an actual program. Are you part of a big team? Is it a large team on the game, or are you?
No, it's a small team. It's probably, you know, a handful of guys.
Nice.
You know.
So you're obviously very involved in the art then.
Yeah, well, all the art is going to be mine. So.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, all the visuals will be mine.
Is it reminiscent of your webtoons in style, or is it something 3D or?
The client that I have, he's really, he loves texture. His aesthetic sensibilities are fairly different from mine. So yeah, it's my style, but there's kind of a more textured approach to it. He likes for things to look very organic and kind of sketchy, and so the lines look kind of pencil-y and the fills aren't exactly perfect, and you know he's real big on that organic hand drawn look.
Nice,
boiling line sort of thing. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Cool. That sounds awesome. I'm a little jealous. I've always wanted to work on a game. I thought that would be a really interesting thing. I feel like that would be a nice balance as an animator. I mean, having some experience in TV. I mean, Peyton, you can probably speak to this too. Mm. That the amount of work that goes into for the reward/pay that comes out of working in television is not as great as it should be. And being involved in a video game, especially an app for mobile devices, you kind of you'd be part of a small team. You know your opinion and your artistic input would be valued. And because it's not crazy Disney animation, you know, well, I mean, most aren't. I shouldn't say, I'm not saying that your game isn't, Matt. but you know what I'm saying? Like if you're doing a small like side scroller video game where like, you know, it's basically, you know, 4 to 8 frames a second, you know, you can do just really good poses, really good art, really good character design. And you don't have to, like, you'll have the time to make it look good for what the platform is.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, that would be really a fun thing to do.
Well, it is. Well, I do like the fact that basically all the pressure's kind of off me. In a way, because my part of the process is all in the beginning. You know, it's the end. It's just going to be basically all on the coders to make it all work and come together.
Right.
So it's nice to be on that side of things for a change, you know, whereas like what you're talking about when you're doing something for like broadcast or whatever, it's like you're usually at the tail end of the process and a lot of the pressure is on you to get it handed into the editor, who I feel is always gets the the bum end of the deal. they always get handed all this stuff, and they're like, okay, you have tonight to do it.
Yeah, because all the animators were late. Yeah. Yeah, I do remember those days. I was never an editor, but I worked as a production manager for quite some time, and I always had those looks from the editors like, we're getting our scenes when? Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, the closer to the end of the pipeline you are, the more screwed you get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was fun when I used to work on stop motion. Sometimes, well, they actually had a meeting where we weren't allowed to have anything that wasn't supposed to be in the shots. And the shots, sometimes people would leave like a pencil in the corner of the shot that had to go through post-production and stuff like that. And it really started bogging down the production pipeline. It's like, yeah, that shot's great, but in a corner you've got a pencil there for, you know, 20 frames. So now we got to go in and take that out. And anyway.
Ugh, so much extra work.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, I guess we can move on to what we are watching. And depending on how the show goes tonight, we're going to kind of play it by ear. Because Matt has come on board specifically to talk about The Avengers, which I hope everybody has seen by now. Normally we start off the movies and TV section with Game of Thrones, but Matt is behind and he hasn't seen any Game of Thrones. So we can't do that because we would ruin a whole lot of really cool stuff for Matt. So
Game of Thrones is full of hugs.
Butterflies and nan cats, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard, it's full of a lot of hugs sans clothing.
Sex of Thrones, yes. Although surprisingly less in the last few episodes, which I'm okay with. The thing we're going to do is continue on with our Avengers talk, and Peyton and I will either tag in our discussion of Game of Thrones after the show, after the credits, or if it's not there, we'll just pile up episode 8 and 9 and talk about them next week. Hopefully with a guest that has seen Game of Thrones. And since we're talking about Game of Thrones, I'd like to let everybody know that I have confirmed with Garrett Weinzierl of This Week in Blizz and StarCast fame that he will be joining us on June 6th, I believe is the Wednesday, for the season finale discussion of Game of Thrones, as well as the rest of the show. He's going to stay for the whole thing. So I'm excited about that because Garrett and I haven't had a chance to podcast together in, geez, about a year. So it's good opportunity for the boys to hang out and talk about some fun stuff.
That's a StarCraft podcaster, right?
StarCast is about StarCraft, and This Week in Blizz covers all three, Diablo, Warcraft, and StarCraft, but they do it in a much more casual way because they only have about an hour to 90 minutes to talk about all three games, and they're all very big games. Mm-hmm. And they do I like it so much because I'm a casual gamer, and they can't get into like stat crunching or esports and a lot of the really heavy stuff like they do in their other shows. They just kind of cover the basics, cover the news, cover what they've been playing, what their experiences have been. And Ben, I can't remember Ben's last name right now. Sorry, Ben, is a concept artist. Okay. So he and Garrett is a concept artist as well, although right now he's working in design. But Ben works on, I don't remember what company he works for, but he works for other companies doing game concept art, and I think even some film concept art for stuff. So his opinion is always really cool because he's coming from it as having been part of a production pipeline for something like that, which is very cool. Yeah, worth checking out at thisweekinblizz.com, and that's Blizz with 2 Z's. So I guess we can say big, fat, red spoiler zone. If you have not seen The Avengers in the last 2 weeks, you are on your own. We are going to talk about it in depth. We're going to talk about all the things we liked, we didn't like, including the beginning, the middle, and the end. So if you would choose not to hear that, stop the podcast now and come back at a later time because I don't want to ruin what I think was a very good movie for you.
And we may list it in the show notes where we come back in, maybe?
Yeah, we can probably put that in the show notes. I'll leave a note for Jocelyn to please indicate the time that the Avengers starts and stops. That would be much appreciated. So I've been talking for a bit here. So Peyton, you and I saw the movie together.
Yeah.
So Matt, how long ago did you see the movie? Opening weekend?
I saw it premiere night.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow. Nice. That must have been fun.
Were the costume people there as well?
No, I mean, I didn't see it like, yeah, well, I should correct myself. I mean, they do the premieres now. I don't know if it's the same up where you guys are, but Now it's like they do the Thursday midnight show.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't at that one. I was at a Friday night show. So in my mind, that's kind of the premiere night, technically. Mm. So yeah, I was there for the first Friday night. And yeah, it was a lot of fun because, and I always enjoy seeing, when I can, seeing movies on close to the opening night like that, because it's all the people who really want to see it. Yeah. You don't get a whole lot of the jokers who are sitting there, you know, texting or goofing off or shouting at each other or whatever.
Yeah.
It's all people who are actually, they just want to be there and watch the movie. And there's, you know, usually you guys have seen, you know, people are more amped up. They're more likely to laugh at the jokes or clap when something really good happens. So it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the spirit, I guess, in the theater. We saw it the Tuesday after it came out, Peyton?
I think so. It was like, yeah, within a week or so.
Yeah.
Maybe a week or 10 days of the opening. So, because it's been out now, what, three weeks?
Just a little over 2 weeks. It'll be three weeks this Friday.
Okay.
It'll be 3 weeks this Friday, yeah. And in those 3 weeks, it has crossed the $1 billion mark.
Which I believe is a sure sign that the geeks have inherited the earth. Which I'm starting to think that was a typo. It's not the meek, it's the geek who inherited the earth.
Yeah.
Well, you guys heard about Robert Downey Jr.'s signing thing on that, right?
No.
Like his contract? Well, apparently everybody else in the Avengers has, you know, just a paycheck. And when he was doing, like, Iron Man, working up towards Avengers, he signed on for a percentage. I think he made, like, $50 million on the film. Ooh. And everybody else got, like, you know, 2, 5, stuff like that. Anyway.
Wow.
Jeez, he's doing very well with this one. And, you know, if he's in the other ones, then I'm sure he'll do even better.
I don't remember being super stoked about the Avengers when I first got wind of it. Like back when Iron Man came out, that's when Marvel had first started their own studio. So back when they grabbed control of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that we had prior to Iron Man was Sony/Columbia Pictures Spider-Man.
Well, I think Marvel's first was Blade, I think. But
yeah. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
And what was the other thing? Fantastic Four. But was that Marvel? That wasn't Marvel, was it?
That wasn't Marvel, no.
No. Hulk. Hulk was the other one. The Ang Lee Hulk was the other one that we had that wasn't super great. I'm thinking more kind of like Avengers-centric characters. Yeah. I know the Spider-Man, well, he eventually in the books he was an Avenger, but I mean, I think everybody was at one point.
Yeah.
So do you guys, I mean, Peyton, I know that you've read some of the comics. I came to the movies not having read any of the Marvel canon books that lead up to the Avengers, but started getting into it just after I saw the movie. I decided to go back and read some of the comics. Matt, have you read any of the comics?
I have not, no. I've never been a huge comic reader. I usually like the characters that are in there, and I have kind of a basic knowledge of a lot of them, but I've never been a huge comic reader.
Yeah, I find that sometimes comics, I enjoy the spirit of them, but they still get a little bit too campy, a little bit too far-fetched for me. And even in some of the harder-hitting Ultimate books that I'm reading right now, the dialogue is so clunky. And you're just kind of like, who wrote this? Like, I understand that it was 2004, but come on. Like, they've taken the time to get the permission from Sam Jackson to model Nick Fury in the comics after him. You know, so they let him know that they were going to do it. He said, yeah, sure, as long as I get to play him in the movie. And so they go ahead and they make this character, but then the writing that they give for him is just ridiculous. Like he says stuff like, "Hey Joe, what's up, chum?" or "See you later, bud," and all of them are in the same speech balloon. Like he starts the thing with, "Hey bud, what's going on? Good to see you, chum. Well, I gotta go. See you later, bud." And you're just like, "What? How is this at all intimidating?" Like it didn't at all process with me very well, and but the visuals in the comic book are very, very cool. I really like the art, I really like the design, the writing and the overall story arc is very cool. It's darker than most Marvel stuff usually is, and I think they kind of married the original kind of run for the Avengers from like the 60s and the 70s and the Ultimates universe in the movies that they've been making over the last few years.
Yeah, I think it took some of the fun, you know, gee whiz sort of thing from the originals, but then yeah, the Ultimates relaunch was a much more grounded, I guess, in quote unquote reality.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to stick more true to the Ultimates, I guess, than some of the other stuff. Because in the, you know, you got 40, 50 years of timeline to mess with, and they really, you know, some weird stuff happened, especially, you know, in the 80s and the 90s. Things just got completely out of hand. So, just sticking closer to the Ultimate stuff was a good idea, I think. And I grew up with a lot of Marvel stuff and some DC stuff as a kid. My father was a truck driver, and he would bring the stuff from his travels home. So I remember reading all of the Incredible Hulk stuff, and this sort of had that same sort of vibe. You know, you just, you know, sitting there clap my hands like, this is awesome. it had that nice feel to it. And a friend of mine turned me on to the Marvel stuff by giving me all of his trades to read of the Ultimates. So my first real introduction to a longer Captain America story and all that was through reading the Ultimates, and it totally turned me from a DC fanboy to a Marvel fanboy. So, anywho, it's good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I it's funny. I'm coming back where I'm now reading comics, having seen the movie, which is probably, the desired effect as far as Marvel's concerned. I mean, like, they'd love people to come see these movies and be like, wow, that was actually really cool. I should go read the comics. But I feel like I should warn people, if you're going to go read the comics, you have to put up with Giant Man, Ant-Man, Wasp, and some other characters that I find kind of, I don't know, not really grounded in reality. Not that Iron Man and the Hulk are really grounded in reality, but like, I feel like such a snot when I say stuff like this, but I have this very fine line where my suspension of disbelief snaps and superheroes and all these amazing abilities become kind of dumb. And Giant Man is one of them. Like that kind of thing. It's like, really? He gets big. That's it. That's kind of meh. I'm not really on board for that. The Wasp thing. Like I get it. And I mean, and I'm not a fan of the, all the stuff that happened in the movie either. Like as much as I liked the movie, I really enjoyed it. I had a fun time. I thought that Joss Whedon did a great job balancing it, and a huge cast.
Yeah.
Big personalities, big characters, big actors. And just kind of having that all balanced out in a good way. But I just, if you really think about it, if you take the Black Widow and Hawkeye out of the movie, nothing changes.
You
could give the, like, even if there's some sort of specific plot point where, okay, like they killed this bad guy or they stopped the portal or they had a role doing something, you could have somebody else do that and it still works out just fine.
Well, allow me to point out something to you that I read once in a script writing book that was pretty eye-opening to me. The same could be said about Indiana Jones in the first Indiana Jones movie.
Okay.
You could take him out of the story and it would run almost the same way. So I don't think it's...
the ending would be the same.
Yeah, you shouldn't just measure it based on like how much the characters contribute. Because if you look at that movie, The Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I realized it when I read that and I looked back at the movie, I'm like, oh yeah, basically he fails at everything he does.
He just closes his eyes at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a fair point. I think maybe I'm coming from the fact that they're not super.
Yeah, well, I know with, I'm pretty sure with Hawkeye, there is some sort of fall from grace where he does, like, kill a lot of the good guys. I'm not sure if it was a brainwashing thing in the comic. I can't quite remember how it goes, but he does, like, flip to one side and then try to come back. He's not quite trusted and all that stuff, so. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, that. I mean, that's another brilliant thing about how they handled him in the movie. I mean, I'm still not a fan, but it could have been worse. I mean, how do you take this guy that shoots bow and arrows, you know, and make him interesting? Well, you turn him into a bad guy for half the film.
Yeah.
I thought they did a pretty decent job of integrating two characters who people would otherwise not care at all about. And I even have a little bit of a feeling, this is just a theory, mind you, that the only reason those two are in there is to kind of round out the typical Avengers lineup for the true fanboy comics guys. You know,
probably.
Like you were talking about, like the Ant-Man and the Giant-Man, I think I've always had a feeling like some characters and even story arcs and comics become weighted down by tradition, and they start shoehorning characters in there just because they've always been there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, you know, oh, because it's tradition, you know, it's not the Avengers without Giant Man. And, you know, I feel like some of that probably goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, they probably did have a limited amount of change that they could do before they would probably be either doing it disservice or pissing off true fans. But yeah, that could be just me coming into it having read the books and not being a fan.
And, you know, and if you try to fold in Giant Man, Hank Pym, who's, you know, Giant Man, and I believe Ant-Man as well.
Yes, he's both. You know,
you really can't bring him in because then you've got, you know, Banner, Stark, and Pym. So you got these three geniuses trying to fight for screen time, so that's not really going to jive. So.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed the way that they balanced that kind of stuff out. I thought some of the... Thinking back, I feel like some of the stuff with Tony Stark was a little bit forced. It didn't feel quite as smooth as the other Iron Man movies.
Tony Snark?
Caught that, did you?
Yeah.
I feel like there was a lot of that, and it was kind of... I think it was just the fact that there was so much of it by himself. Like, whenever it was him and Pepper Potts, it was great.
Mm.
But when it was just that close-up shot of him in the suit with the heads-up display flashing in front of his eyes and stuff like that, I feel like it was just like one-liner after one-liner after one-liner, which is not unlike the book. So, I mean, you know, like there's... I can see that constant struggle of, like, you know, how close do we stay to the comic? How campy do we get?
Yeah, and, well, Tony Stark becomes a drunk at one point in the comics, too. So.
Yeah, well, and they give him that vice. Yeah, and they give him that vice in Iron Man 2 as well. Do they not? He drinks an awful lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if he's an alcoholic, but he's got the whole, I can't remember what it's called, palladium blood toxicity thing happening in Iron Man 2. I felt like that, like a lot of his stuff was kind of forced. Did you guys have a favorite character, out of the cast of either actor and or comic character that stuck out to you as a favorite in the film?
I think Garofalo did a great job as Hulk.
Did you say Garofalo?
Garofalo?
Jimmy Garofalo?
No, what's his name? Mark Garofalo.
Ruffalo.
Ruffalo.
Yeah.
Mark, he did a great job as the Hulk. Sorry, not Janine. She's
can you imagine?
See, that's great an alternate cast for you.
Right.
I'd pay to see that.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I'm so bitter and angry, but you haven't changed. I know.
Just paint her green.
Yeah. A little filter over the lens, you're good to go.
Yeah.
So he did a good job with that, I think. The idea of trying to, he's always angry. That was a neat idea.
Yeah. Matt, what about you?
I agree with him. I mean, unlike most, I enjoyed the previous Hulk movies, but I think I'm in the minority there. But I think it is, he did very well with a role that's not easy to deal with. Essentially, when you're Bruce Banner and you're up on the screen, you know everyone's just waiting for you to turn into the big special effect. You know, how do you stand out? And I think he did a decent job. I don't know that he outshone his special effect counterpart, but...
I think he did do a good job of showing that he was actually trying to keep something at bay more so than Norton did or in the Ang Lee one, so...
Well, he certainly came off as smarter and more kind of world-weary than the other attempts.
Even when, you know, he earlier when he's talking to the Black Widow and he sort of like jumps at her for a second just to see if she would, you know, how she would react, right? You know, when he barked